This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's Joe McKinnon.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to have you company for Talking Horses. What a day it was yesterday at headquarters. The running of the inaugural $5 million All-Star Mile, and it was a fairy tale result. The Winks of Tassie, Mystic Journey saluting and doing it in very dominant style. A bit later on the program, we'll catch up again with David Wishaw, who's involved in the breeding story of this wonderful filly. David, of course, heads up Armidale Stud in Tasmania. They stand the sire of Mystic Journey needs further. It really is an incredible story. Also coming up on the show, part two of our special interview with Monty Roberts, the horse whisperer, who was recently out visiting Australia at the Inglis Premier Yearling Sales in Melbourne. But first, joining us this morning is Mike Becker from Stockwell Thoroughbreds. They've got some stallion news.
RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
News recently that Almaha, who has been standing at Aquas Farm in New South Wales, will now join the Stockwell Thoroughbreds roster in Victoria. Mike Becker from Stockwell joining us on Talking Horses this morning. How are you, Mike?
I'm well, thanks, Joe.
So tell us how this all came about.
Well, Joe, as you know, my son Brodie and I leased the Emirates property at Diggers Rest, and we've had a long and very good association with Emirates. And we'd been seeking to get Almaha down here for the last 5 or 6 years, but it's taken until this year for us to win that argument.
Yeah. He was, of course, as a racehorse, a star three-year-old of his generation, winning the Group 1 Australian Guineas. And as you say, you've been petitioning Emirates Park for a number of years to send him down to you. So you must be very happy with the outcome.
Well, we certainly are. Look, in many respects, I've felt for a long time he's been one of the underrated stallions in Australia with his ongoing continued success as a sire. His success in the sales ring, he's just done so well over so long, but I've always felt that he's never really had the recognition that he deserved for what he's done.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Mike. He's certainly a proven producer of stakes and group performers with 34 individual stakes performers and 4 Group 1 winners.
Yeah, it's a great record, a great CV that he's put together, and you know, it doesn't come easily to, and not many stallions can achieve it. And he's a beautifully bred horse. He's a gorgeous-looking horse. He's done a great job with his progeny on the track, and he's always achieved good sales results. So, you know, there's something there for everybody.
He's in the twilight zone of his career, it's probably fair to say, but age has certainly proven no boundary for him thus far. He's still such a brilliant breeder and highly fertile with a great libido.
Yeah, he is. He's never had any issues in the breeding barn, and, you know, that's a bonus. Look, we're not looking to break records, obviously. We're not going to this. But, you know, I think he's going to get a nice book of mares. He's going to appeal to a lot of breeders, both on a commercial and owner breeder level, and at the price we've been able to set him at, I think he's going to appeal to a wide range.
Mike, in the official press release announcing that he would be joining your roster, you described him as being a very professional horse and an absolute gentleman to work with. So you're looking forward to having him work for you this season. And he's a proven broodmare sire too, with some daughters being very successful.
You look, on a selfish note, Joe, that's one of the primary reasons we're looking to get him, is to hopefully breed some fillies for ourselves. His pedigree lends itself so many ways. It's no surprise his daughters are doing well at stud. You know, he is a three-quarter brother to Redoots, and you know, he's a big, strong, good-boned horse who leaves nice types. And you know, it's no surprise that his mares are producing so prolifically already.
Mm. And you feel that he'd be well suited to what is a diverse group of broodmares in Victoria?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because look, there is a bit of a shortage of Danehill free stallions available, but we are seeing more and more of them. And fortunately. But, you know, so he does open himself up to a wide range of mares. He's crossed particularly well with the Jinsky line mares, I note. And so he's, you know, people who do their homework can see, because of his proven record, how he works and what he works with. So you're not stabbing in the dark. There's fairly clear guidelines there with him.
Mm. And you feel that he'll be suited to the showdown market and will be a Voba sire, which will make the most of his relocation to Victoria?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the showdown and Vobis are absolute key to this horse because he can get two-year-olds, he can get speed horses, he can get staying horses. He covers all bases. And, I'm just delighted we've got him. He's only been here a week, but we've had a lot of terrific feedback about him coming down, and I know he's going to be well-received.
And he had a colt go through the recent Premier sale on behalf of Rushton Park, which sold for $80,000. That's currently 10 times what his service fee will be.
Yeah, and that's not uncommon. And we've seen his yearling sell on the Gold Coast over a number of years to six figures because he can get a horse in his own mould, those lovely, big, strong, dark-coloured colts and fillies, and they do appeal in any market. You know, they absolutely do. And it's not without surprise that Gay Waterhouse, who trained him during his great career, has been one of his greatest supporters in the sale ring.
How old is he now, Mike?
He's 19 now, and but I can tell you from the week he's been here, he looks amazingly well. He's certainly feeling very well. He comes dancing out of his box in the morning, and when he goes up in the air, he's a big horse. He goes a long way up, but he's just such a gentle horse. He's a credit to Ejaz, who's looked after him up at Emirates Aquas ever since he went to stud. He's a beautiful horse to deal with.
Yeah, there was a lovely story about Ejaz and the horse during the week, because he's been associated with him right back from the beginning when he was even a young yearling. So they've had a long association. It must have been very sad for him the day he left the farm.
They had an amazing bond, as you say, right from when he was a yearling, when he came home to spell through his racing career, and obviously right through his stud career, he's been Ejaz's horse. I was surprised to not see Ejaz walk off the float with him, to be honest, but he's a credit to Ejaz and the time and effort he's put into the horse.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, the horse looks well. I only saw him a couple of months ago up there in New South Wales. He belies his age.
Yeah, he does, and he's an eye full of horse. He's certainly he's an eye-catching horse, and it's no surprise he can throw such nice types of foals.
Mm. So you mentioned naturally that interest has been strong in the horse coming to Victoria. For the upcoming season, you'll be standing him at 8,000 plus GST?
That's right. So we think we've been able to pitch him in at the right price, an affordable price, a realistic price. As I say, we're not trying to cover hundreds of mares with him, but I think he'll certainly get his nice supply of good quality mares.
And, Mike, how did the season wrap up for your other stallions, Artie Schiller and Rock Sturdy?
Well, we're delighted with Artie Schiller. He covered 70 mares, which was, again, for a horse of 18 years of age, was a great result. His fertility was outstanding, as it always has been. In what I think was a tough year across the board, he did very well, and he certainly repaid the faith of the people who bought shares in him. And he got some very nice mares. He performed brilliantly. He did. We're always a bit biased towards Artie Schiller, of course, but and his yearlings this year have again sold enormously well. So and he keeps doing a job on the track. So we're delighted with having picked up Artie Schiller.
Oh, that's terrific. All right, Mike. Well, thanks for talking to us.
I say Rock Sturdy, conversely, he does it the tough way. He doesn't get huge support, which is a bit disappointing, but I know when people see his yearlings that will start drifting through the sales, they might change their opinion. He's a gorgeous-looking horse, and he is leaving some very smart-looking young type, but he's going to have to do it the long way and the hard way. I hold every confidence that he will.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Well, thanks for joining us on the program this morning. You look after Al Maher and look forward to seeing what mares he attracts for this upcoming season.
Thanks for your interest, Joe, and look forward to catching you shortly.
Absolutely. That's Mike Becker from Stockwell Thoroughbreds. They'll be standing icon of the Australian stallion ranks, Almaha. He's headed to Victoria after standing a number of seasons with Aquas Farm in New South Wales.
The Talking Horses, winner of the week.
Coming to the turn, Kiyomichi in front. Invincible Lotus goes to second now. Needorp third. Athiri back on the inside. Villamay under the pump. Further back to Starlet. Crystal Falls with the rails runner. Further back to Ice Bar. Probabil is still near last, but Kiyomichi with a good lead. At the 300 metres, two in front of the stablemate Athiri. Then Needorp, Crystal Falls and Starlet battling away. Kiyomichi a length clear. Athiri under the stick. He's trying to bridge the gap. Kiyomichi a half in front to Athiri. Going well, Kiyomichi in front, 50 out. Kiyomichi's going to dominate the Magic Knight. Goes on to win it. Second, probably Crystal Falls in the last bound over Athiri. And a Merceman charged home into fourth.
Quite incredible, isn't it? Godolphin could now possibly have half the field in next week's Golden Slipper. Another one added to their arsenal yesterday was the filly Kiyomichi winning the Group 3 Magic Knight Stakes. She really showed her appreciation of the heavy track after defeating the outsider of the race, Crystal Falls, and winning quite easily. She was a winner when making her career debut at Rosehill back on the 10th of November. She looks like a tough filly and a bright future lays ahead for her. She's a daughter of Sidestep and she's a homebred from Godolphin, the fifth winner from six to race out of the unraced Canny Ladmare Wichita, which is a sister to Group 1 VRC Size Produce Stakes winner Preserve and the listed winner Rio Oza and a half-sister to Group 1 winner Deadman. Preserve is the dam, of course, of dual Group 3 winner Safeguard, who, like Sidestep, is by Exceed and Excel. After missing to Epaulette in 2016, Wichita foaled an Animal Kingdom filly on the 21st of August last year, but was not covered last spring. A half-brother to Group 1 winner Skilled and Group 2 winner and Group 1 placed Ambidexter, Sidestep won the Group 2 Pango Pango Stakes and the Group 2 Royal Sovereign Stakes and was runner-up in the Golden Slipper. After beginning his stud career at Darley, Sidestep now stands at Telamon Thoroughbred in Queensland, where his current fee is just over $7,000.
The results that matter. The Talking Horses Racing Run-Through.
Racing at headquarters yesterday and we opened the program with a 1,200 metre race won by Pat Carey's mare Swift Sis. She's a five-year-old daughter of Hassan Lightning out of a Spectrum mare Colour Band and is related to winners Colour Me Crazy, Debang and Fancy Feet. Race two on the program, the Autumn Trophy over 1,400 metres, won by Outrageous, a three-year-old gelding by All Too Hard out of a More Than Ready mare Fit and Ready. Outrageous is related to a winner Very Tempting and went through the 2017 Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sales for $460,000. The Group 3 TBV Thoroughbred Breeders' Stakes over 1,200 metres, won by Godolphin's Flit, a two-year-old filly by Medaglia D'Oro, out of a Redoute's Choice mare Glissade, related to winners Flow and Speedway. Race 4 over 1,100 metres, won by Causeway Girl, a three-year-old filly by Seamus Award, out of a Giants Causeway mare Lady Katina. Causeway Girl was sold for $150,000 at the 2017 English Premier Yearling Sales. The fifth event on the program at Flemington yesterday, a benchmark 80 race over 2,000 metres, the Grand Classic Final, won by We Take Manhattan. Trained by Matt Kamani, this four-year-old gelding is by Manhattan Rain out of a Montjeu mare, Mabay. Winning siblings include Perfect Match, Schiffer, Speedwagon and Walloon Region. We Take Manhattan went through the 2016 English Classic yearling sales ring for $87,500. The sixth event on the program, the Grand Mile Final, a benchmark 80 over the mile, won by Prometheus, a Matthew Dale-trained horse, a five-year-old gelding by Snitzel out of a Zabil mare Lost for Words. It was sold for a lot of money, $750,000, in fact, at the 2015 English Australian Easter Yearling Sales. The listed Separate Wines March Stakes over 1,400 metres. Won by Widgie Turf, a five-year-old gelding by Turfontaine, out of a Carla Dansimir Greyhound. Widgie Turf is related to winners El Galgo and La Bomba, and was a bargain buy at the 2014 Inglis Great Southern Weanling Sale, selling for just $4,500. The inaugural running of the All-Star Mile, and it went the way of Mystic Journey. What an incredible result. A daughter of Needs Further, this three-year-old filly, is out of a Columbia Mare White Gold and is related to winners Gold Phoenix and Leodoro. Mystic Journey was sold at the 2017 Magic Millions Tasmanian Yearling Sales for $11,000. And the ninth event on the program at Flemington yesterday was a Benchmark 80 over 1,200 metres, won by Villa Saatchi from the Heath Connors team, the four-year-old gelding by Written Tycoon out of an Aspero Mare Black Espresso. Villa Saatchi is related to winners I Am Ruben and Macchiato Espresso. And on a wet track, we had a great day of racing at Rose Hill in Sydney yesterday. The opening race on the program won by Star of the Seed, a four-year-old gelding by Ocean Park, out of a Titus Livius mare, Stella Livia. Star of the Seas is related to winners Lucky Mission, Speef, Thrill and Travancore. Race 2 on the program was the Group 3 Morris McCartan Stakes over 1,100 metres. It was won by Joseph Pride's Easy Eddie, a four-year-old gelding by Super Easy out of a hauling mare Twin Town. Easy Eddie is related to winners Codini, Nuwana Beach and Wildebeest and was sold for just $55,000 in Session 2 of the 2016 Inglis Premier Yearling Sales. The third race on the program at Rose Hill yesterday was the Group 3 Magic Night Stakes over 1,200 metres, won by Kia Michi from the Godolphin team, a two-year-old daughter of Sidestep out of a Canny Ladmere Wichita. Kia Michi is related to winners Adage, Artesian, Cossetots, Ozark and Talamina. The Group 3 Pago Pago Stakes over 1,200 metres, Cosmic Force Too Good, very impressive win from the colt by Deep Field, out of a Command Mare Little Zeta. Cosmic Force is related to winners Charlia, Jacqueline, Miss Lawrence, My Greek Boy and One More Zeta and was sold for $180,000 at the 2018 Inglis Classic Yearling Sales. The Group 2 Farlap Stakes over 1,500 metres, Very Elegant was Too Good. A three-year-old filly by Zed out of a Dan Road Mare Opulence. Very Elegant is related to winners Black Lace and Very Flash. The Group 3 Sky High Stakes over 2,000 metres went the way of Red Cardinal. He's a seven-year-old gelding by Montjure out of a Zavonic mare, Notable. The Group 1 Coolmore Classic for the mares over 1,500 metres and Dixie Blossoms was the winner, a six-year-old mare by Street Sense out of a Starway mare, Whistle Dixie. Dixie Blossoms related to winners Abel Green, Authenticated and Dixie Lass. The Group 2 Ajax Stakes over 1,500 metres from the Lindsay Park Racing Team, 50 Stars was Too Good. A four-year-old entire by See the Stars out of a Sadler's Wells mare Swizzle Stick. And the final race in Sydney yesterday, a Benchmark 78 over 1,900 metres, won by Supernova. A four-year-old entire by Intello, a German stallion, out of a Street Cry mare, Carding. Recently, I had the privilege of catching up with the legend Monty Roberts, who was visiting Melbourne for the Inglis Premier Yearling Sales at Oaklands Junction, selecting yearlings on behalf of a client. This is part two of our special interview with Monty, and we kick off the conversation by talking about the role he played in getting that rogue Pakistan Star in Hong Kong back to winning form.
I went to Hong Kong to work with Pakistan Star. And he stops in the middle of the race. And I was flying there on the airplane thinking, oh, God, I feel guilty. I'm going there to get a fee to tell them how to fix a horse that stops in the middle of the race. And I've never seen a horse do it before. I don't know what I'm talking about. And I got there. And 20 minutes into the session of training that I saw, I said to the trainer, Ray Charles could see what's going on with this horse. And he got very upset with me. But in 6 weeks, he won $4.5 million. And the change was, I was only there 2 days. But that's how far off we are.
So what was it that they were doing wrong in his training that led to those behavioural issues in the races?
Well, you see, it has to be a beautiful track and it has grass on it. So you can train that way away from his house and just stop up there and turn around and come back to his house because the people don't see that part of the track. But you can't go around that turn and go through the finish line and then go home because you'll mess up the turf. And I said, this horse wants to stop, whirl around and go back home rather than make the turn. Oh, well, the trainer said, the stewards will never let you take him around there anyway, you know. And I said, I guess I have to have a meeting with the stewards. This is the first day. I met the nicest man called Kim Kelly. He's a chief steward, Shot 10 Racing. And I drew on a napkin in the breakfast room what was wrong. And, of course, they have a little dirt thing out here and a nice big turf track over here. And I said, if he could just come around here and go on the dirt track, even at a trot, I don't care, and come down here and put a little gate here and let him go home. Boom. Round the turn he went, $4.5 million later. And then they gave him a month off or so. And I got an email from the veterinarian of the stable where he was, saying they went right back training him the way they did before and said, Monty Roberts doesn't know what he's talking about. And he stopped again. I mean, how do you help people? I can help horses way easier than people. Way easier. People are so entrenched in tradition. I was thrown out of the Hall of Fame, you know. I won 11 world championships in the Western world. 11 world championships. I was in the Hall of Fame for 30 years. And after my first book came out, they threw me out of the Hall of Fame.
Why?
I called and said, what did I do wrong? They said, you don't respect tradition. And I said, look, here, listen to me carefully. If I have to not improve anything, not move forward, not learn anything, in order to stay in your Hall of Fame, I don't want to be in that Hall of Fame. And I wish some of my friends weren't in there because that's the wrong attitude to have. Well, that's what it is, and you're going to have to live with it. And they threw my horse out. My best horse was in the Hall of Fame with me. They threw him out.
So you've had your challenges along this journey, haven't you?
Come on. My life has been threatened hundreds of times. And they flew me out of three different places because the fix was on. I was going to be killed.
Why would someone want to do that?
Oh, you're making a mockery of every good horseman that ever lived. And you can say I'm wrong if you want, but you can't say my daddy was wrong. He was the greatest horseman ever. And the things he did, you're complaining that we shouldn't do to horses. You got to die. And you're going to die tomorrow night in Twin Falls, Idaho. And I'm going to shoot you. And he happened to be sitting in a car with this new thing they call a mobile phone, calling my hotel room to tell me this. And the man on the desk called the police and they arrested him on the spot and took a screw together assault rifle out of the boot of his car. I was going to die the next night in Twin Falls, Idaho.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah. In Vancouver, way down in Brazil and Argentina, they were going to kill me there. Put me on television saying that I told the people to do this to the horse so that a video could be made and then I could complain about the violence. We don't really do it this way here in Brazil. This is just he set it up. They put me on, a television station said those things. So, yeah, I've had my challenges.
Mm. What's your perception of the Australian horse world, and in particular our racing industry?
Well, first of all, let me give you the positives, because Australia has so far outrun any of the other racing countries, it isn't even comparable in terms of bringing the public into racing, in terms of making it more attractive to the general public walking on the street. I just give them so much credit. It is incredible. And when I first came down here, I bought Tobin Bronze down here for Charlie Whittingham and took him back to my farm in California and trained him there. And I got to know the people here, and I leased a farm in New Zealand, Alton Lodge Farm in the Waikato. And so I got really loving it down here because they had old staying mares and we had speed in California. And I could retire a 1,200 meter winning group one, like they didn't even have group races in those days, but top notch race in California. Could bring her down, bring him down here and cross him with these old mares and get some more speed in it. And I've watched Australia go from stayers to sprinters like crazy. They're built differently. They walk differently. They think differently. And it's all advanced into a more modern type racing industry, which I give them great credit for. And they're hospitable people. The Australians are hardworking people, and they're hospitable. They mean well. They look you in the eye. They talk to you like human beings should, not so much like city folk. And I know the cities are growing and things change, but Australia is still a bit old-fashioned in that term of being hospitable to one another. I just came from the sale, Inglis. And they were so hospitable, you can't believe it. They're just so nice. And they do things for everybody that they think might be a buyer, you know. And look at the excitement that they drew out of the general public at Inglis. I was very impressed. Mm. Those are all the positives. They just have to, in my opinion, Australia has to be very careful about integrity. Making sure that people aren't doing things to the general public that the general public doesn't know about, that they have to be fair with the horses and with the people, and not maybe be quite as hard on horses at times, thinking, well, I got 10 of them, I'll go as fast as I can and the best one will pay for the rest, you know. And there's some truth in that, but I'm on the side of the horses, and you can just count me on that. If I have a fault, it's to be too kind to them rather than to be demanding.
There's never been a bigger focus, which I'm sure you're very pleased about, on horse welfare, particularly in racing here in Australia. It's as high a focus as there's ever been. What are your views about that?
Well, of course, that's fantastic. And we just have to be careful that it's all well-meant and properly done. For instance, let's ban all two-year-old racing. That would be so bad for the horses. Why? Horses shouldn't race when they're two. That's your decision. I say that if you ban two-year-old racing, then each farm would have to have individual paddocks for all the males. You couldn't run them in a group after puberty. You just couldn't do it. They'd be so bashed up you wouldn't get them to a sale. So then you would have two-year-old sales instead of yearling sales, because you've got to add a year to it. You can't ask the buyers to keep them for an extra year for nothing, you know, to do nothing. So I say race your two-year-olds as much as you want to race them, so long as they're an A of their epiphyseal closures. Well, that would reduce two-year-old racing a lot. They can scan them now as they walk by in the saddling paddock, the mounting yard, you call it. You can scan them right there, boom. They're not an A, they don't race at two. And if they're an A, they're fully mature. Oh, well, when do they become an A then? Well, in our northern hemisphere, it's generally September, October that the two-year-old becomes an A. So you'd get rid of the two-year-old races in February, March, April, and May. That's for sure. There's just not enough A's. But you wouldn't want to race them when they're immature, would you? You love your horses. You wouldn't want to do that. That's my position. That's what I say at every meeting up there. And the trainers are against me. They want to go, you know, get it done. Boom, boom, boom. And if the growth plates are still immature, they're going to break down more often. And you might get one through, too. I'm not saying that they break down 100%. But if it's an A, I say it's okay.
That was part two of our special feature interview with Monty Roberts. Part three next week, and we'll talk about the Grey Flash Chautauqua. Yesterday's inaugural All-Star Mile could not have gone any better to script. The Tassie filly Mystic Journey recording a dominant win. David Wishaw, who's involved in the breeding story of this wonderful filly, joins us on Talking Horses this morning. We spoke to David a couple of weeks ago after she won the Guineas. David, how are you this morning?
Morning, Joe. I guess I've pulled up a little bit scratchy this morning, but still on cloud nine.
I bet you are. How good a win was it?
Oh, she was just emphatic. We're just still pinching ourselves. Like, you know, she travelled three wide without any cover, and I'm just in awe of her and what she's doing for Tassie breeding and Tassie racing. I still really can't believe how well she put them to the sword, you know, with the run she had.
How was the day itself?
I guess, for us as a family, it was a very big day. I was lucky enough to have my mother and brother and sister and my wife all on track, along with a heap of my mates that came over to celebrate my birthday. So for us, it was a day with much anticipation. We were lucky enough to have Hell of a Street running in the race before. So to have a couple of runners off the farm, you know, out of Tassie, both run so well and do us so proud. It was just a phenomenal day. One I'm sure I'll never forget.
A happy birthday, by the way. That's today, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Thanks, Joe.
I mean, this story is just so fantastic for Tassie racing, for your family.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it so special on so many levels. You know, I was lucky enough to go out for dinner with Adam Trender and Wayne Roser and Janine and the crew last night, and I was just saying to Wayne, I just feel so humbled to be just a small part of this story, and I feel so blessed for Adam. He's got a father that's going through some health issues at the moment, and I'm just so glad for Adam that you know, he's a third-generation trainer, that his family's still alive to witness it. And I guess I'm so blessed that my mum's still around to witness this, because, you know, out of Tassie, there's such a small horse population down there. We rarely get to run on the big stage in on the mainland. And I just think the whole of Tassie would be so proud of this little filly.
And I think the whole of Australia really has got behind this filly and this story. I think her winning the race yesterday, and I said it myself on social media, is just the tonic Australian racing needs right now.
Yeah, it does. This game, as I'm sure you know so well, is full of highs and lows. And I guess we've had some real lows in the media of late, and Winx has been our shining light. But I just think even more people can relate to this filly than Winx. You know, it is a story out of the smallest state, and the story of an underdog, I guess, in a lot of regards. And it is the perfect tonic, not just for us as a state down in Tassie, but nationally to drag us through some of these dark days.
Yeah. Tasmanian racing, what, in your view, does all of this do now for your state, which you're so passionate about?
I really don't know. I guess I need to process it and have a long, hard think it's definitely going to help our economy in the short term. You know, we race around for $10 million a year in total prize money. So for Mystic Journey to be racing around for $5 million yesterday and be lucky enough to take the chocolates, he's obviously going to be a huge financial boost to the industry in the short term. In the long term, I don't know. I think it now gives us some ammunition to go to the government and say, look, our industry is special. We are doing some wonderful things down here, but they need to put their hands in their pockets and continue to pour some money into stakes. As I spoke about, and I won't, you know, harp on about it, but a fortnight ago when we spoke, you know, our stakes are falling further and further behind, you know, the other major racing stakes in Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland. And unless we do something, I don't know where our industry goes, but we're dreamers and they do come true. And I really hope that the whole of Tasmania gets behind this horse now and the local government realises that racing isn't a bad portfolio. It's a wonderful portfolio that gives so much back to the community, employs so many people, and if, you know, they take the time to come out to studs like ours, they can see how loved the animals are and what a life we do give them. And I think they can realise that the racing portfolio is not so bad, and hopefully the do-gooders and greenies can start to shut their mouths a bit.
Mm. For you as a family in Armidale Stud, this is pivotal as well. You rolled the dice by investing in a stallion after a hiatus from stallions for a number of years. In Her Sire Needs Further. Take us back to that story and how it all happened.
Yeah, I guess it really culminated with after the death of my father and then our local Labor government sold the tote. Our industry really plummeted into a really dark hole where we really lacked confidence as an industry. Broodmare numbers had shrunk so much in Tassie that my mum was convinced there was no future standing stallions. So we hadn't invested in another one. We'd had a lot of round table meetings as a family, between my mother and my brother and my sister, they all thought we should get out of standing stallions and just run 5 or 10 broodmares and be a little boutique broodmare farm. I guess I had a burning passion under that to give it a crack. I felt it would be very remiss of me not to try, and I guess I probably lacked the confidence for a few years, but We had so many stallions put under our nose. We'd be getting off with one a fortnight, mainly tried stallions that have failed in other states. And I kept saying to them, if they've failed in New South Wales or they've failed in Victoria or they've failed in New Zealand on good mares, why the hell are they going to be able to do a good job in Tassie with small numbers of rubbish mares or poorer quality mares? So I guess, yeah, we did. We rolled the dice, I guess. The decision probably sat on my shoulders, but I was very lucky to have great support from my family. I think at times, and they said it yesterday, you know, we told you you're a fool, and we told you to get out of doing this, it was going to kill you. But it definitely didn't kill us yesterday, that's for sure.
You must really feel quite unbelievable at the moment. There's some sort of divine intervention, perhaps, as funny as it is to say, in all of this as well. And, you know, three generations of the Wishaw family, you know, pouring their heart and soul, as you've said yourself, into Armidale Stud. A result like yesterday makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And I hope the generations before us can be watching it somewhere. Because we're just a small family-run business and we're all operating right at the coalface. We don't sit in an office with rose-coloured glasses. You know, the reality is we're hands-on day in, day out. And you know, like all studs, we've had a hardship and days like yesterday make it worthwhile. You know, they really do, and they'll continue. That day will continue to push us to get out of bed through the tough times, and I hope it's inspiration for a few other studs and breeders as well, because it's just lovely of late. You know, there's a couple of Queensland studs that are doing a great job as well, and I feel so thrilled for them because I know how hard it is to get a stallion and I know how hard it is to make a stallion. We were going through some of the big stud farms in New South Wales last night at dinner saying, look how many stallions I've gone through in the last 10 years. And, they, you know, the moment they don't look like they're making the grade, they move them on. And we're just blessed to have taken a chance and got a bit of luck, I think.
Yeah. And so what do you think the future holds then for Needs Further? I know putting you on the spot this morning, still in the wake of the glory of the win yesterday, but no doubt after the filly won the Guineas, you've had some major stud farms expressing interest in him. That's a conversation you're going to have to visit pretty soon ahead of the upcoming stud season. Do you think you'll keep him in Tasmania or are you still completely undecided?
Yeah, look, completely undecided, Joe. My heart lies 100% in Tassie and at home. And I think my family's worked for generations to have a stallion like this. I guess our last stallion that really, really put us on the map nationally was St Breville's back in the 80s. He obviously sired Citizen that won a Caulfield Cup and a Queen Elizabeth and ran in a Cox, second in a Cox Plate. But the industry was far less polarised back then and there was far more mares in Tassie. So I guess it's been nearly 30 years since we've had a stallion of his calibre. So my heart and of hearts says I'd love to see him stay at Tassie and I'd love to see truckloads of mares come down to him. We've been lucky enough to have some investors in the stallion that have supported us through those dark times. So it'll be very much sitting down with those investors and saying, we want to do the right thing by you. You've done the right thing by us. We'd love to see him stay in Tassie. But if at the end of the day the figures are too big and the draw is too big, he may end up going to Victoria or New South Wales. As I said, there's definitely been some stud farms with some very deep pockets expressing interest. I think the long and the short of it is I promised Needs Further that he'd have a home at Armidale for life. So if he does go somewhere, he'll always come back to us when his days as a stallion are done. Yeah, he's been very, very good to us as a family.
Yeah, he sure has. And your mum, Robin, she was on track yesterday, which is fantastic. How's she taken it all in?
Yeah, she was just overwhelmed yesterday, as I was. We're both lucky enough to have some of our close friends around us, and I felt for her when she missed out being on the contract Guineas Day. So, I think, like me, she's pinching herself. Like me, she would love my father and my grandfather to be watching it. And she's immensely proud, as she should be, because a lot of people thought that the stud would never keep going when my father passed away. And really, it was solely because of her drive and determination that it did. So she should be very proud.
Yeah. It's a wonderful story, David. All of us were just so happy to see the filly cross the line. And in the manner in which she did yesterday, it couldn't have been a better outcome. As they say, some things do go according to script in this sport of racing. And that will be a day that we'll all forever savour. And what a great concept the All-Star Mile is as well. And probably the perfect outcome, isn't it? Because she has very quickly become the people's horse and this is the people's race.
Yeah, I agree. I've obviously listened to a bit of media around the All-Star Mile and it's had a lot of criticism, which I can concur with some of it, but also strongly disagree with a lot of it. You know, I see that Racing New South Wales and Racing Victoria have sort of gone head-to-head with this autumn racing, and I'd much prefer the concept of the All-Star Mile than the Everest. The reality is the Everest is the rich in this game, probably getting richer. And the fact that a small battler from somewhere like Tassie would just never have a chance of being able to afford a slot unless someone with a fat wallet came around and tapped them on the shoulder. So I love the concept of re-engaging people. I love the concept of getting people behind horses. I'm sure with a bit of fine-tuning, we'll all be saying in 5 years, this is an outstanding race, this is an outstanding concept. We're getting great fields and we're getting people involved in racing that wouldn't otherwise be. I was lucky enough to meet Wayne, the ambassador, yesterday. He was just beside himself. There was people getting around the races in red and white behind Mystic Journey. It really was overwhelming how good a job Racing Victoria did for the first running of this race. I just think they did an outstanding job. They should be commended. I agree that more money needs to be tipped into base stakes. That really is the lifeblood of the industry. But as an industry, we've got to continue to think outside of the square. We've got to look at sports like cricket. We've brought in the 2020 cricket and really changed that sport. Now, I'm a real purist, and I don't want to get rid of, you know, my favourite race in the world is the Cox Plate. You know, you don't go changing things like that. But bringing in new initiatives like this All-Star Mile, I think, are actually the way forward and are a way of getting new people into racing. So, I couldn't commend Racing Victoria enough. And like you, I think that was the perfect fairy tale to start, you know, to be the first winner, to be the first horse that's won the All-Star Mile is the people's horse. And I really hope she can continue to be that, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that's in awe of her.
Yeah. No, well said, David, and you're a fantastic ambassador, especially for Tasmanian racing. So passionate and so articulate. So as for Mystic Journey now, where does she go? What's the likely plan, or is that something that will be discussed in the coming days?
Yeah, well, I guess I've got no control over her immediate plan, but I'll obviously follow with absolute great interest and pride. My understanding, without taking any of Adam's limelight, and I definitely wouldn't want to interfere there at all, but my understanding is that she will go to the paddock now for a spell and be aimed at the Cox Plate in the spring. But, obviously racing's a moving feast, and we'll see how she pulls up. But geez, the way she ran through the line yesterday, I'm excited about that 2040 at Moonee Valley.
I bet you are. It's your favourite race, as you said as well. How amazing if she could go on and win that.
Yeah.
Well, David, thank you for your time this morning in the wake of what I know would have been amazing celebrations last night, and they'll no doubt continue today as it is your birthday, so I hope you enjoy a lovely long lunch somewhere.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks so much for covering this and giving Tavi some exposure.
My absolute pleasure. That's David Wishaw from Armidale Stud in Tasmania. What a great result for the Apple Isle yesterday. Mystic Journey winning the inaugural All-Star Mile. Armidale, of course, stands the stallion needs further, the sire of this wonderful filly. Hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of Talking Horses. That's all we've got time for on the program. Special thanks to our guests this week. We had, of course, Monty Roberts feature in part two of our interview, and also Mike Becker from Stockwell Thoroughbreds, who are now standing Almaher this upcoming season. And David Wishaw, we really appreciate his time in sharing in the wonderful story of Mystic Journey, the inaugural winner of the All-Star Mile. Until next week, take care. Bye for now.